You're listening to 20 Minutes Max. I'm Max Morgan, and these are the headlines. Former Labour Cabinet Minister Peter Hain used parliamentary privilege this week to out perma-tanned pension stealer Sir Philip Green as the businessman accused of the sexual harassment and racial abuse of his employees, in a surprise to not a single fucking person on the planet. The tax-dodging titwank later dismissed any and all instances of him being a hateful fucking prick as banter, before launching into a lengthy fucking whine about how difficult it had all been for him, in a play taken directly from page one of the Billionaire Cunt's Handbook on behaving like a billionaire cunt. In more news that's about as surprising as a Dominic Raab fuck-up, it also emerged last week that the guy who had been sending bombs to high-profile Democrats for the preceding fortnight is an ardent supporter of the seeping fucking bellend of racial hatred, inappropriate daughter fantasies and transphobic intolerance, Donald Trump. Mr. Trump later appeared on television, with his face like a disused knacker bag, to absolve himself of any blame for the attacks, before launching into a lengthy fucking whine about how difficult it had all been for him, in a play taken directly from page one of the Billionaire Cunt's Handbook on behaving like a billionaire cunt. In the first of two LGBT hypocrisy-related stories this week, Caitlyn Jenner has finally realised that the heaving great twat who spent his entire election campaign and the 2 years since taking office abusing, denigrating and vilifying vulnerable minorities might not be the nice guy she said he was when she selfishly and recklessly endorsed him for the presidency. Jenner sat on her throne of nauseating rich bastard privilege and stated, without a hint of self-awareness, that the last 2 years had given her an opportunity to reflect, while singularly failing to recognise that the last 2 years had given other trans people the opportunity to lose their jobs and homes and live in fear of being beaten or murdered by supporters of the loathsome tub of damp shit she helped propel into the Oval Office. Over in the UK, we were all invited to forget the fundamentally fucking terrible nature of rape clause supporting, child poverty promoting, homophobe welcoming Scottish Conservative leader Ruth Davidson and congratulate her and her partner on the birth of their son. As if to complete the circle of hypocrisy, milk-curdling bagpuss of malice and denier of gay rights Arlene Foster extended her, no doubt very sincere, best wishes to Ms. Davidson on the birth, an event that various members of her own party have described as immoral, unnatural, and likely to result in neglect or abuse, in direct contrast, presumably, to a religious upbringing in which there are zero reported instances of physical or sexual violence towards children. Following the legal victory of planet-raping environmental terrorists Quadrilla last week, in which they successfully argued that campaigners warning about the potential of fracking to trigger earthquakes were talking absolute bollocks, operations had to be halted on two separate occasions this week, following the detection of a total of 17 earthquakes in 9 days. When asked whether this meant that fracking would now cease on the site, a Quadrilla spokesman confirmed that they will rest only when the last molecule of carbon dioxide locked up in the earth has been belched into the atmosphere, and their shareholders are the only people left alive who can afford to pay for a fillet of one of the two surviving species of fish. In a story that was largely and somewhat inexplicably glossed over this week, the UK's plan to crash out of the EU on WTO terms was handed something of a kick in the knackers when it emerged that 20 countries were intending to block our proposed terms of membership of the organisation, in a development that has left the temple of ring-peace-shattering ineptitude who promised that post-Brexit trade deals would be the easiest in history, Liam Fox, standing there with his cock in his hand like the least attractive participant in the world's shittest orgy. Among those threatening to block our fast-track membership were those bastions of free trade who we were supposed to believe were going to pull us out of the post-Brexit shitfire, the United States of America, making all those months of prostrating ourselves before the pig-faced poo-shoot in the White House seem really fucking worthwhile. As we headed into the weekend, we were once again balls deep in news that would enrage many but surprise none, when it was reported on Friday that the Myra Hindley to David Cameron's Ian Brady, George Osborne, ignored warnings that his public sector pay freeze would disproportionately affect the lowest paid and plunge thousands more children into poverty. It's easy to forget amidst the gratuitous unpleasantness of the Theresa May reign of spiteful fuckery, just how unrelentingly fucking vile her pig-fucking, coke-snorting, poor-shafting predecessors actually were. So it's handy to be reminded of their unjustifiable maliciousness from time to time, so we can remember to keep fucking hating them until they die. Sunday was the day for news that is as depressing as it is utterly horrifying, with the New European reporting that 42% of the UK public still believes the barefaced and comprehensively debunked lie that we'll have an extra £350 million a week to spend on the NHS after we've finished dry-bumming our economy into an entirely avoidable pulp with the sandpaper-covered dildo of Brexit. Presumably these are the same inordinately fucking witless individuals who believe that climate change isn't real, that Mrs. Brown's Boys constitutes an acceptable level of comedy, and that Jacob Rees-Mogg wouldn't boil every last wretched one of them with their own fucking pudding and bury them with a stake of holly through their stupid, risibly suggestible hearts. And if you add in the people who answered not sure to this question, the figure rises to 64%, leaving just 36% of the UK falling into the ever-diminishing category of person who is not a cunt. Things got worse as the day progressed, as news broke that Brazil had elected a far-right totalitarian homophobe with a deep and lasting commitment to misogyny to the office of president, in what was the most depressing and concerning turn of events since the last American country elected a far-right totalitarian homophobe with a deep and lasting commitment to misogyny to the office of president. The BBC reported his election in their own inimitable style, by referring to the unapologetic racist who once told a fellow politician she was too ugly to rape as controversial, because being seen to be balanced is obviously a lot more important than possessing a functioning moral compass to the feckless cunts at Broadcasting House. Thankfully, things picked up on Monday as we were treated to the thoroughly uplifting news that our podium finish at the International Laughingstock Championships had been all but guaranteed by the introduction of a special 50p coin to celebrate that time we all voted to piss in our own cornflakes. Racist titwanks up and down the country celebrated this news with exactly the kind of vigour you'd expect from the kind of dull-brained fucking simpleton who defers their opinion-forming processes to the editor of the Daily Express. Things picked up even further later that afternoon when Chancellor Philip Hammond used his budget statement to declare that austerity is over, with the obvious caveat that austerity definitely isn't over, and anyone who genuinely believes it is a gigantic fucking bellend who shouldn't be allowed to operate anything more dangerous than yoghurt. With proposed tax changes set to disproportionately benefit the top 10% of earners though, you can safely predict which of the measures introduced by Mr. Hammond will be protected in the inevitable emergency "Oh fuck, we fucked the fucking economy just like you fucking said we would" budget of April 2019. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 6, which is entitled "Austerity is over unless we do something in the next few months to willfully and needlessly drop the economy into a vat of boiling piss, in which case we'll seamlessly return to merrily butt-fucking anyone on less than 100 grand a year without even a second's hesitation." Now, after the last few weeks, I promised myself I wasn't going to go on a rant about the BBC, and I fucking swear it's a promise I intended to keep. But then, while I was writing this week's episode, I happened to glance at Twitter, and I saw a tweet from the BBC monitoring account, whatever the fuck that is, that incensed me to the extent that, had the arse-licking cunt been anywhere near me, I would have shoved my phone right up Nick Robinson's stumpy little cock, followed by my whole fist, a can of Lil, and a king-size fucking lion bar. I don't know why him particularly, because the tweet had fuck all to do with him on this occasion, but he's just such an arsehole. Anyway, The tweet in question read as follows: "Racist, sexist and homophobic, or a refreshing break from political correctness? Bolsonaro's history of controversial statements." Now, to begin with, I obviously have to take issue with the use of the word controversial. Is Die Hard a Christmas film? Is controversial. Is Marmite a delicious accompaniment to toasted bread or the bitter liquefied turds of Satan himself? Is controversial. That woman is too ugly to rape, and I'd prefer it if my son was dead rather than gay, are objectively abhorrent statements to anyone who's not a fucking subhuman cunt. But to then frame the question as to whether these statements, along with such classics as "I'm in favour of torture," might be a refreshing break from political correctness, just goes to underline the point I've been making on this show for the past 3 weeks. The BBC is fundamentally broken. It's fucked, quite possibly beyond repair. And worse, was strong-armed into paying for this upsettingly foul content. If I don't like what The Independent is saying, I can buy The Guardian. If I don't like what The Guardian is saying, I can buy The Mirror. If I don't like brown people, gays or coherent sentences, I can buy The fucking Sun. But if I don't like the way the BBC is pandering to far-right bastards who think military dictatorships are glorious, the only way I can vote with my feet is if I don't watch any TV at all as it's broadcast. I can't just say, "Fuck you, BBC, I'll stop funding you and watch Channel 4 News instead," because I'm legally prohibited from doing so. And whilst I get that the BBC are far from alone in their complicity in the rise of neo-Nazism, when I'm being more or less forced to pay for their content, I feel as though I have a bit of a right to demand higher standards of them. Anyway, they later deleted this tweet in response to a quite understandable outcry, and replaced it with one stating that they had intended to reflect the spectrum of opinion on Bolsonaro's statements. And this is everything that's wrong with both the BBC and the wider political discourse right now. The idea that the fundamental rights of minorities are open to debate, and that we must politely listen to both sides, is as insidious as it is flawed. My rights and the rights of other LGBT people to exist are not merely one side of some equal debate where all points of view must be respected. I'm sick to my fucking back teeth of being told we must be civil and respect the opinions of those who would deny us equality, or that we should be grateful for the rights we do have. Fuck that. I'm not going to sit here and thank you because I can marry a guy now. You've done the bare fucking minimum centuries too late. If anyone should be grovelling, it's the fuckers who denied us our rights as long as they did, and who continue to deny us rights in certain parts of the UK and the rest of the world. Same goes for the rights of women to have control over their own bodies, and for trans people to live their lives with dignity, free from persecution. Same goes for people of colour who, several decades after being handed some faded facsimile of equality by the white man and told to pipe down, are still treated as second-class citizens in supposedly advanced countries around the world. We're not a fucking debate that you get to have over our heads, and in which we must be grateful for whatever scraps you throw our way. You either support our right to equality, full equality, without fudges or equivocation, or you're in the fucking wrong. There are no grey areas. So fuck you, BBC. Fuck every last sorry fucking one of you until you fix your horribly fucking broken moral compass and start to fulfil your obligations as a licence fee payer funded broadcaster. Your normalisation of this hateful rhetoric, your handling of it as part of a legitimate argument that needs to be reflected equally in your output, is literally putting lives at risk. Don't believe me? Think I'm being hyperbolic? Then maybe have a look at what happened in a US synagogue last week, when 11 Jews were killed in their place of worship, including one who had escaped death at the hands of the Nazis in World War II, only to be murdered by a homegrown Nazi in the USA 70-odd years later. Then take a look at the rhetoric of the toxic fucking reptile you've handed his own fucking chair on Question Time. Or that fascist syphilitic cock you insist on inviting onto Newsnight every few weeks, and tell me it's not all fucking related. Same goes for LBC, by the way, and anyone else who gives these fuckers a platform or reports their objectively repugnant views as though they're on a par with some debate on whether to raise the duty on a packet of cigarettes. I mean, I don't imagine that if I should propose a measure whereby all straight cis white guys are forced to eat their own recently dismembered cocks in a fucking hot dog bun, you'd be packing your studios full of women of colour and queers to debate whether or not it's a good idea. Look, we're in an age where everything is recorded. Barring some massive solar flare that wipes the world's computers and sends us back to the pre-industrial age, receipts are being kept. I feel fairly confident in predicting that there will be unspeakable atrocities committed over the next few years. It just feels like it's the way the world's going. Almost certainly in Brazil. It's already started in the USA. Maybe here, maybe all of those places and more besides. And as things stand, history is likely to judge certain sections of our media in the harshest possible terms, as they steadfastly refuse to call out this resurgence of Nazism for what it is. It's time to take a long, hard look at yourselves, BBC, LBC, and all you other cowardly faux balance-pursuing fuckheads, because if you wring your hands for long enough, you'll eventually find them covered in blood. Now, before I move away from this general area, for this week at least, I just want to say a few words about Twitter. So it emerged last week that the suspect in the mail bombing case in the US had been reported to Twitter for threatening to kill a woman. And they dismissed the report because apparently the person reporting it hadn't appreciated the context in which the death threat had been issued. I've had exactly the same situation myself, where a user said he was preparing the noose for me, and Twitter dismissed my report again because of context. Like there's a context in which it's fine to hang someone for being gay. Perhaps, you know, if they're one of those gays who rubs it in your face all the time or whatever. Now, okay, fine. They later admitted that they'd made an error in the handling of the mail bomber case. But by then, it was too late. And they literally only admitted the fuck-up because it received a lot of media attention. Kind of like when a celebrity is finally outed as an abuser of women, and he checks himself into a fucking spa for a couple of weeks to recover from his sex addiction. In my case, however, and in literally thousands of other cases every fucking day, no action is ever taken because it's not high profile enough for the media to pick up on it. And what was Twitter's response to this? To the fact that death threats are routinely ignored on their platform, and in at least one instance, the user involved has gone on to commit serious violent crime, they're thinking of removing the fucking like button. Because, you know, ask anyone what's wrong with Twitter, and they'll all say, "We don't like getting likes, Jack." I mean, it's not the Nazis being given free fucking rein to spread racist and anti-Semitic conspiracy theories across the internet while you cheer them the fuck on. It's not Trump saying whatever vile bollocks comes into his bloated, pumpkin-y fucking noggin with absolute impunity. It's not fucking Glinner shitting all over a persecuted minority from behind the protective blue tick you've bestowed upon him while you suspend the accounts of those at whom he directs hate for fighting back. It's not the fact that gay people have to go through every day on your platform being labelled perverts and child abusers. It's the ability for someone to silently express that they have enjoyed or agreed with one of your tweets. That's the thing that's made your website a fucking overflowing toilet of cunts, Jack, and all that other shit's just a coincidence. Now, I'm not going to make any rash promises, but maybe I'll talk about something else next week. Back to this week, though, and I wanted to say just a few words about the Philip Green thing. Now, I'm sure this is a story that's still in its infancy, but the thing that stands out at this stage is the Theresa May levels of shameless hypocrisy on display from those in the British newspaper industry. So, to begin with, you have the fucking Telegraph, making a massive fucking song and dance about sexual harassment and racism without seemingly a hint of embarrassment. The fucking Telegraph. The paper that shits out hundreds of thousands of pounds a year to promote the racist and misogynistic ramblings of such assorted cunts as mop-garnished shit-hamper Boris Johnson and spectator-editing, rod-little-enabling, wank-bucket Fraser, I'm alright with quite a lot of racism, actually, Nelson. If these fuckers actually gave the tiniest fucking shit about sexual harassment and racism, they wouldn't have commissioned a piece by the fucking ham-faced monument to ineptitude who, until recently, was masquerading as our foreign secretary, directing hate at Muslim women who choose to cover their faces. Pretending to give a fuck now in order to sell a few more copies of their bastard-pleasing twat journal is a fucking terrible look and they should definitely stop it. But then, on the other side of that, you have the Daily Mail and the Spectator, two lips of the very same infinitely nasty cunt, by the way, moaning about Peter Hain out in green in the Lords, like it brings about the fucking end of civilization as we know it. And yet, I don't remember a fraction of this consternation from either publication, when one of Theresa May's aides forcibly outed a gay whistleblower after he exposed wrongdoing in the Vote Leave campaign. So, yeah, they're up in fucking arms when some greasy-haired, perma-tanned, tax-dodging billionaire cockflap gets outed for the sexual harassment of the poor fuckers unfortunate enough to be employed by him. Yet they don't even seem to give a small, rabbity-sized shit about a gay man and his family being placed in actual physical danger because some nasty little wanker in 10 Downing Street couldn't keep his fucking mouth shut. Such a fucking hard time to be a middle-aged male billionaire, isn't it? And speaking of old rich bastards who should definitely throw themselves into a fucking wood chipper, Donald Trump has surpassed even his own levels of contemptible malevolence this week in his reaction to both the mail bombing incident and the synagogue shooting. So, after the mail bombing suspect had been arrested and, totally unsurprisingly, found to be the kind of detestable fucking satchel of stupidity who would support someone as overtly fucking horrific as the Fifth Avenue fanny feeler, Trump was asked whether he ought to tone down his violent rhetoric before someone gets killed, to which he replied that, if anything, he should tone it up. I can think of about 12 things that the bloated cunt needs to tone up, but none of them are incitements to political violence, and at least 3 of them are chins. Anyway, fast forward a day, and there's some bastard carrying out an act of anti-Semitic mass murder in a place of worship. So, did this make the loathsome prick stop and think that maybe his language might just be creating an environment of hostility and racism that was endangering his own citizens? Did it fuck? What it made him do was to attend a campaign rally, where he walked out onto the stage to fucking Happy by Pharrell Williams, before making a joke about how he nearly cancelled because it was raining and the fucking piss-soaked straw he laughably calls hair had got wet. On the same fucking day as 11 of his own people were murdered in cold blood by one of the white supremacist fuckholes he had previously described as being very fine people. All of this, by the way, after being intellectually outclassed by a fucking umbrella. He then went on to say that if the synagogue had been protected by an armed guard, none of this would have happened, in a short-sighted, victim-blaming video addressed to reporters that was so stomach-churningly fucking awful I wanted to set fire to my own fucking eyes. I'm so fucking glad that this is the interminably fucking deplorable mast we've chosen to nail our colours to after we've finished pistol-whipping ourselves in the ballsack with the backfiring shit cannon of Brexit. Speaking of which, that's still going off with the same quiet dignity of a fucking Danny Dyer appearance on sodding Question Time. This week's Why the Fuck Are We Taking This Infeasibly Large Shit in Our Own Beds Again news was that our hilariously optimistic suggestion that we should be allowed to retain the same WTO quotas post-Brexit as we had as a member of the EU has been rejected by, well, just about anyone who fucking matters as it happens, including our special friends, the good old US of A. which puts a bit of a fucking broom handle into the spokes of those dopey cunts who've spent the last 2 years insisting that a no-deal Brexit will be no big deal. And why the fuck have they left it until now to start negotiating with the World Trade Organization anyway? Now, I'm no fucking expert on international negotiations and whatnot, but I can't help thinking that if we'd put as much effort into securing what perennial failure hound Liam Fox described as the easiest deal in history, as we have into blue passports and the 50p of racism, we might be marginally less far up fucking shit creek. And that fucking coin. Wow. Apart from the fact that it looked like it had been designed on fucking Windows XP, the proposed wording is just pathetic. Peace, prosperity and friendship with all nations. Reads like a list of things we could have had if we hadn't decided to turn all the gas on and start pissing around with a fucking light switch. Perhaps they'll bring out a 20p coin saying food, medicine and not being a racist little cunt. Or maybe a 10p saying job, science and not pissing in a fucking Fanta bottle on the hard shoulder of the M20 just so you have something to drink during the rest of the 96-hour wait to get into the fucking Channel Tunnel. Not that any of them will be worth anything by March of next year, regardless of denomination. That fucking budget was the biggest exercise in navel-gazing futility since the fucking Lib Dem Party conference. I might as well have stood up for an hour in a room full of people and told them all about my very detailed plans for my first date with Tom Holland, including the part where he says, "Do you want to come to my friend Thor's house? He's well into threesomes, for all the chance either of them have of coming to pass." It's like promising to buy your significant other a Christmas present, knowing full well that you intend to celebrate Halloween by shitting in your boss's desk drawer and telling him that you were banging his wife while he was away at the trade show in fucking Bracknell. There's just a small chance it might affect affordability on some level. I did see one piece of encouraging Brexit news this week, though, when I stumbled across a headline that said, "Prepare for second referendum," Barnier told. But then I clicked on the article and saw that it was Vince Cable who told him this, and was immediately disappointed to realise that it might as well have said, "Prepare for victory in the world's manliest man competition," Max Morgan told. Right, that's about it for this week. As always, do let me know what you think on Twitter, @SpillerOfTea, or on the website, spillerofTea.com. And don't forget to leave me a rating or a review on Apple if you've enjoyed it. The more of those I get, the more attractive this thing is to new listeners, at least until they fucking hear it. Just a quick reminder, by the way, harking back to some of the stuff I was talking about earlier, that if anyone out there is struggling with anything, particularly, though not exclusively, related to sexuality or gender identity, my DMs are open and you can always email me through the website if you prefer. I don't claim to be a qualified therapist, far from it, and any advice I might tentatively offer comes with the obvious caveat that it's almost certainly a load of bollocks. But I do understand what it's like to need someone to talk to about that kind of stuff and what it's like when there's no one available. So if you need me, you know where I am. I hope you'll be able to join me next time when I'll be talking about more shit that's happened. I'm Max Morgan, and this was 20 Minutes Max.